This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Gaylor, and happy autumnal equinox. And isn't it nice that there are no wacky religious takeovers of this natural event?
I'm Dan Barker, and the equinoxes, the vernal equinox and the autumnal equinoxes, are basically the time of year when sunrise and sunset are at the same time over the entire planet. And then we use those as marking the beginning of the next season. I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. This is the September 22nd, 2012 broadcast of Free Thought Radio. We're produced in Madison, Wisconsin. Podcasts and broadcasts also in Ithaca, New York, in Atlanta, Georgia, in Columbia, Missouri. They broadcast on Wednesday afternoons in Grand Rapids and in Monterey, California. And this week, we're celebrating or marking the births of two free-thinking composers and songwriters. On September the 25th, 1906, Dmitri Shostakovich was born, an atheistic Russian composer. And on September 26th, 1898, the American composer and songwriter George Gershwin was born. Both of them were non-believers, so listen for some of their music during the rest of today's show.
And you can get the documentation on their lack of belief at FFRF's website, Free Thought of the Day. It's a daily calendar, and we have as many as five or six, sometimes even more, freethinkers on their birth dates with bios and documentation of their free thought views. Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and FFRF has two purposes. We are a state church watchdog, and we work to educate about non-theism. We are the nation's largest association of freethinkers, atheists, agnostics, non-believers of any and all stripes.
Getting close to 20,000 members, over 19,000 now. Today, we're going to talk with Adam Lee. He's the host of the Daylight Atheism blog. A young man, this is one of the most popular web blogs on the internet dealing with atheism. He has a brand new book out called Daylight Atheism, and we'll talk with him on the second half of today's show.
We have a lot of news to work in before that interview. First, Dan, you just got back from a symposium in Fulton, Missouri, and which is near Columbia, where Free Thought Radio is airing. And you came back and you said there were two security guards tailing you, and nobody ever told you why. What was that symposium all about?
Well, at Westminster College, which is a really nice college, liberal arts college, they had a two-day symposium on religion in the modern world, and different speakers and different breakouts, and at least for mine, I don't know for anyone else, at least for mine, there were two security guards coming, walking behind me everywhere, these guys in black suits and sunglasses, really nice. And I asked them, is there something I should know? And they said, well, no, they just hired us to be here. And they were posted at the doors, and they were checking backpacks, and they were checking purses.
And they wouldn't tell the students either. There was an article.
Yeah, we don't know why. But anyway, I felt kind of like a celebrity walking around with these guys behind me. But it was a good talk I got to talk on atheism for over an hour.
So you not only rated top security, but you made the news. And this is coverage by KBIA Missouri.
For 19 years, Dan Barker preached from a Christian pulpit. Now he's co-president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation and is an atheist activist. He says he outgrew his religious beliefs. These days, that's not unusual.
Agree with it or not, atheism is really growing. Millions and millions of good Americans don't believe in a God.
Barker's remarks were part of his presentation at a two-day symposium about religion held at Westminster College in Fulton earlier this week. He highlighted statistics and thoughts behind the decreasing number of people who believe in a God or call themselves religious.
59% call themselves religious.
That's according to a worldwide Wind Gallup poll.
41% of our planet does not consider itself to be religious.
According to the American Religious Identification Survey, so we're talking just the United States now, more than 1 million people said they were either atheist or agnostic back in 1990. Now, that number is more than 3.5 million, and adults younger than 30 are particularly not religious. According to a Pew Forum survey, 1 in 4 say they are either atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular.
Someday we'll be looking back, and you'll be able to say you were part of that generation that was turning the corner, taking us out of delusional thinking.
Kelly Catraba, Columbia Faith and Values at KBIA News.
And speaking of needing extra security, the world is still in flames because of religion. And at the receiving memorial of our ambassador from Libya and the 3 others who died at the embassy in Libya, I was struck by the very pertinent remark of Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
There is no justification for this. Violence like this is no way to honor religion or faith. And as long as there are those who would take innocent life in the name of God, the world will never know a true and lasting peace.
So, hear, hear. And Glenn Doherty, by the way, one of the SEALs who died at the embassy in Libya, was a board member of the Religious Military Freedom Foundation, that is founded by Mikey Weinstein. And I think that he probably would have been struck, Glenn Doherty, that there was really quite a bit of religion at that reception as the bodies came back about 10 days ago, probably more than he would have liked. But at least we know that Glenn Doherty believed in keeping religion out of government, out of the U.S. military, and we have lost a stalwart.
Now, last weekend, some of you may have caught the Values Voters Summit. That's where theocrats have been gathering, and they gather in Texas annually. They invite the politicians that they like, including Paul Ryan. And this is put on by the euphemistically named Family Research Council, a Christian right think tank, which is run by Tony Perkins. Not Anthony Perkins, that's the psycho guy, but Tony Perkins. Maybe there's a connection there, who knows? But Tony Perkins, by the way, it was announced that Perkins was giving this sermon at the event a week ago on Sunday. And this group has a chaplain. There were many prayers throughout. I think you'll catch what he's talking about. Here's just a bit of a flavor of that gathering.
All those delegates in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed will say no. Well, in the opinion of the chair, the Value Voters of America say it's time to quit apologizing for being America. And it's time we openly declare our trust in God.
So, we have updates on a big complaint, a legal complaint that the Freedom From Religion Foundation has made in the Walker County, Georgia schools. And this is a complaint that was handled by our staff attorney, Andrew Seidel. And it was a very unusual, really egregious case because the football coach was praying very openly with the students. There were a lot of allegations he was doing other things like trying to get students to go to a Christian camp. But one of the most unusual things he was doing was busing students, public transportation, to pregame dinners at churches where they were being prayed over. And Andrew wrote a long letter and got the Walker County Schools in Georgia, which is near the Tennessee border, so there was a lot of coverage in Chattanooga, to agree to stop some of the more onerous violations, such as they said the coach won't be allowed to pray with the students and they won't have a team chaplain anymore. But we still had some concerns, and this is WCRB TV Chattanooga covering those.
It's the hot topic on the front page of the Walker County newspaper. After a month of complaints, the Freedom From Religion Foundation is still not completely satisfied with Ridgeland High School's process. Prayer before games and practices no longer the issue. Busing students to churches for dinners is. Again, the group says it violates the Constitution.
In doing so, the public school is endorsing the religious messages of that church. There is significant legal precedent on our side that validates this argument.
Walker County School Superintendent Damon Rain says the dinner is simply that, a hot meal. The kids are in and out in usually 15 minutes and no religious message is conveyed. A misunderstanding Rains is ready to put behind him.
Some of the things that they're quoting, having there on those campuses and the kids are seeing, I think they're taking a lot of it out of proportion.
Next door, would-be rivals in Catoosa County are actually showing support for Ridgeland. Boynton Baptist Church voted last week to display this sign. Youth pastor Marty Green says adjoining communities need to pull together.
I don't think it should be an issue at all. The churches are part of the community, and if they can help the schools, I think they should help the schools.
We don't want it to be a distraction. And we feel like that, at times it does become a distraction. It gets us away from what our goal is.
Rain says that goal is educating kids and taking the heat off Coach Mark Mariakas, who's at the center of the prayer issue. The other concern is the cost if it reaches litigation. Rain says right now he isn't discussing a price tag.
There, could be a financial impact here, and we're trying to be good stewards of the taxpayers' dollars.
Rain says he is still talking with the Freedom From Religion group, who tells us they are pleased with Ridgeland's progress thus far.
That Baptist church had a marquee out front saying they support the coach. And by the way, that was our staff attorney, Andrew Seidel, who was interviewed on that clip. Andrew, by the way, brought to our attention another news TV station that covered the same story. And listen to just a tiny bit of this very disturbing comment by one of the believers in that town.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation targets the school for praying. They say it violates students' First Amendment rights.
We can't hate them or throw stones or shoot them. We have to pray, but we have to stand for the glory of God.
So they can't shoot us, and they're going to pray for us, I guess. I don't know what is worse. That was WDEF News 12 out of Chattanooga.
And so we're going to wrap up this part of the segment, but we've got a really good victory to report in Tennessee, and more complaints, each one more bizarre than the last, on how they creative ways to get religion in the schools. And what were we listening to, Dan?
We're listening to George Gershwin, famous non-believing American composer.
Born September 26, 1898.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie. Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. We are co-presidents of the nonprofit, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, a 501c3 educational charity working to keep religion out of government and to promote non-theism. And we hope not someday, but today you will join us.
So the fall season is here. The leaves are going to start falling and piling up. And it's the time of year when school starts, when the complaints are piling up. Here's a good victory we can talk about. The University of Tennessee Chattanooga dropped not only Christian prayer, but all prayer this week in response to a Freedom From Religion Foundation request. Here is WRCB-TV coverage about that issue in Chattanooga.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us. The Mox home opener kicked off with a moment of silence tonight. It's a first for the university that usually offers a prayer over the loudspeaker before players hit the field.
The change comes after a fiery debate sparked by a letter from the Freedom From Religion Foundation saying Christian prayer excludes other religions. Tonight, Christian students met outside the gates to do what they couldn't do inside.
We invite you to join in a moment of silence.
In the absence of prayer, a moment of silence. A few heads quietly bowed inside Finley Stadium, but the name Jesus was reserved for the parking lot.
All right, 6 o'clock, I hope to see y'all there.
UTC grad Corey Garrett and current students in Campus Christian Ministries handed out flyers.
Prayer is powerful, so we ask you to come join us.
Extended the invitation to tailgaters and joined hands with those willing.
In your son Jesus' name, we pray.
I don't know why they're blocking us from praying in the stadium.
Chancellor Roger Brown revealed the administration's decision.
Beginning this week,
will be a moment of silence that will be announced just before the national anthem.
A new student group asked the university to stop Christian-led prayers over the loudspeaker at football games.
It has excluded many other faiths.
This doesn't even need to become a divisive issue. Nobody needs to oppose what you're doing. Nobody needs to oppose what we're doing.
The Secular Student Alliance says it will support prayer as long as it's not over the loudspeaker.
I like that comment she made. Jesus is reserved for the parking lot.
And that complaint actually was signed by me, our senior staff attorney, Rebecca Markert, and some of our interns worked on it. So congratulations to all of us and our complainant in ending prayer at a university, which is how I got involved in this in the first place.
When you were a student,
at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, when I was a sophomore back in the 70s, late 70s. And so then, because there was a lot of publicity about UTC dropping prayer, naturally enough, we got complaints from students and alums at the University of Knoxville about similar practices there, and we have an ongoing request to them to drop prayer. They're saying they're not gonna, but they're gonna supposedly keep it non-sectarian.
The University of Tennessee at Knoxville.
Yes, and this is WATE6 in Knoxville covering that.
Six News reporter Jessa Lewis joins us now live from outside Neyland Stadium to explain what the Freedom From Religion Foundation hopes to accomplish.
Well, Kristen, the Freedom From Religion Foundation sent this letter last week to the chancellor's office here at the University of Tennessee.
After forcing prayer out prior to UT Chattanooga events, students here in Knoxville teamed up with the Freedom From Religion Foundation to accomplish the same goal.
We got a notification from someone that goes to UTC at Chattanooga who had filed a complaint with Freedom From Religion Foundation talking about prayers before school-sponsored events.
The Secular Students Association wants to replace prayer with a moment of silence prior to kickoff.
At UTK, there are broad range of students representing a bunch of different religions, as well as those who don't represent a religion at all. And we think it's proper to represent all those people with something like a moment of silence before a football game.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation says they expect university policy to change since they were successful in Chattanooga.
It's also good manners not to exclude people, not to force ritual on people who do not enjoy and share the same beliefs as the majority.
In the letter, the foundation says it's their understanding that a clergy member delivers prayers routinely invoking Jesus Christ prior to football games, something they say is unconstitutional.
The law is very clear, the facts are very clear, and we think they should be discontinuing it. We would expect a resolution.
Reporting live on the UT campus, Jessa Lewis, 6 News.
All right, thanks, Jessa. Now, we also spoke with a member of the Campus Ministers Council who says they work with the athletic department and the vice chancellor's office to ensure inclusivity of all people. The council also says they would rather be represented in prayer than a moment of silence.
Well, you can't exclude, you can't include everybody if, a fifth of the student body is non-religious and doesn't pray and doesn't believe in a God who answers prayer. Now, we have a bizarre complaint. This is a Texas school where the cheerleaders, this is the Kuntz High School Lions, a town of about 2,000 in Texas.
Outside of Houston.
Outside of Houston, where they were making banners inscribed with religious messages, including this one, "But thanks be to God, which gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." There are huge banners made out of paper, and then the football players run through it. So this... we have stopped it.
They're like 8 or 10 feet tall, and the players come dashing through and they tear it as they come out into the field.
Although I think there's an ongoing problem because the cheerleaders now say they're going to sue the school district, but this is KCEN-TV Kuntz.
All right, here's a question for you. Should religious messages be allowed on banners at high school football games? One small Texas town has put a stop to using Bible verses on run-through banners. That's because they got a complaint about a Bible verse that read, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." Kuntz cheerleaders say the idea for the banners with scriptures from the Bible came up at cheer camp. But the superintendent's subsequent decision to discontinue those banners has been met with a backlash from the town of 2000.
Makes me real proud. Proud of our kids. Proud that they're willing to stand up, that they believe in God.
The superintendent commended the cheerleaders for what they stand for, but he said he's legally obligated to keep religion on the sidelines regardless of whether it's led by students.
And these cheerleaders, who are very aggressive, apparently came up with this idea, I take it, in a school-endorsed cheerleading camp. They used the equipment of the public schools to do this. And no player should have to run through a Bible verse in order to play football, and people on the stands should be free from that kind of harassment. Even student-initiated and led ritual at a public school event has been declared unconstitutional by our Supreme Court.
This is Free Thought Radio. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Stay tuned. We'll be talking with Adam Lee, the well-known popular blogger on the Daylight Atheism blog. He has a new book to talk about, so stay tuned.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. And this is Free Thought Radio. We are going to be talking today with a young person who is a lifetime member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And usually lifetime members of our group are middle-aged or older, but very unusual for someone like Adam. So thanks, Adam. Adam Lee is the author of the very popular blog called Daylight Atheism. It's one of the largest and most popular blogs on the internet that deals mainly with atheism. He touches on issues in science, in politics, in history, in popular culture, in philosophy. His writings have also appeared in Free Thought Today, which is our newspaper, in Alternet, in Free Inquiry, and in Secular Future. And in Richard Dawkins' book, The God Delusion, that blockbuster book, he quotes favorably Adam Lee. Maybe we'll talk about an issue that happened a few years ago. In 2008, during the election, Adam Lee was attacked in campaign ads that were run by former U.S. Senator Elizabeth Dole, who was seeking to tar her challenger at the time by connecting her to Daylight Atheism and to atheists in general. However, she lost the election by a huge margin, or substantial margin. Adam Lee is also a member of the Speakers Bureau of the Secular Student Alliance, which we've talked about in the first segment of today's show. So, Adam, welcome to Free Thought Radio.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Annie Laurie. It's good to be here.
So we've been following your work with the Daylight Atheism blog, and you now have a book which it looks much more substantial than a blog. It looks like it's a real book here. It's called Daylight Atheism, with many interesting topics in it. But starting off, you say that Christian books or religious books tend to be apologetic, and that your book is unapologetic. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean two things by that. You know, the first thing I mean is that obviously religious people think of books arguing for religion as apologetics, making the case for why you should believe in God. So logically, a book arguing for why you shouldn't believe in God would have to be an unapologetic, the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think in the more literal meaning of the term, that atheists should be unapologetic, and that we shouldn't apologize or feel ashamed about who we are, that I think we should come out of the closet, so to speak, and claim our rightful place in the marketplace of ideas and in society's discourse. And that's why I chose the title Daylight Atheism for my blog and for my book, to kind of capture that idea of atheists coming out into the daylight, you know, not being hidden, not being silent, but boldly declaring who and what we are and what we believe.
Yeah, because what are we supposed to be apologetic about? I mean, free thinking, reason, science, understanding, humanistic morality, what's to apologize for?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of religious people will try to convince us that all these positive and praiseworthy traits are things to be ashamed about. And I think really the opposite is true. I think our morality, which is based on human well-being and not obeying the decrees of an imaginary God, is a better morality. And I think that reason is a better way of getting at the truth than religious faith. So these things that we are told we should be ashamed of, I think we should be proud of, and I think we should not have any hesitation in putting them forward as superior.
Adam, before we talk more about unapologetics here, what is your background? How were you brought up?
Well, I was brought up in a religiously neutral family. My mother was Jewish and my father was Catholic. Neither of them were practicing or particularly adherent. I was just kind of raised with really no mention of religion at all. I eventually became, a deist, and I considered myself a deist until around the time I started college, which was when I really started to encounter some of the more harmful and dangerous manifestations of religious belief out there in terms of people who fought science, people who tried to convince us that we should all believe the same things as them. And it was around that time that I started looking into these beliefs to see if any of them could really be rationally defended. And I came to the conclusion that none of them could.
So deist,
that was when I decided to be an atheist.
By deist, you mean somebody who might believe in some kind of amorphous, impersonal first cause or something, rather than a deity.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And so what makes you so passionate about the subject? You know, that you, you know, it's like a career, you know, the blog, Daylight Atheism, trying to enlighten.
Well, I guess part of it is just, I don't really believe in destiny as such, but maybe this is just kind of the thing that I was always meant to do. I feel like when I was first becoming an atheist and I started to come across writings about atheism and secular humanism, that I think I just felt this feeling of resonance that I thought this is what I've always been. I just never knew it. And I think the other reason is that the harmful effect of religion on our political discourse and on our societies tends to be underestimated because so many people think of it as a beneficial force or a harmful force, a harmless force rather. And I think to the contrary, religion not only causes vast harm, I think it's at the root of some of our most serious social problems. And I think if more people were aware of that, then we'd be better able to build in a rational, enlightened society. So I think being passionate about it is really just something that any, self-respecting, politically involved atheist should be.
Well, I'm with you on that. I certainly agree that religion is retarding progress and holding us back. And
I mention in the book, it's not even just the obvious issues. It's some that are somewhat less obvious. Like, for example, anyone could tell you that religion is a major force toward continuing war and conflict and terrorism, especially in the Middle East. But there are other things like restrictions on the rights of women, opposition to climate change and other good science, because a lot of religious believers will say God made the earth as it is and he wouldn't let us change it. So, yeah, I think that the religious resistance to reason causes a lot more harm than people typically realize.
Well, I used to preach, this current world is just sort of a doormat or a stepping stool, a temporary landing place on our journey to eternity. And so what we do here isn't really that important. But I love how in your book, the book is called Daylight Atheism, Adam, how you you make this interesting analogy, on the one hand saying that our world is in a precarious position because of our dependence on fossil fuels and all that comes from that, and on the other hand, how religion itself is a kind of a fossil fuel. Can you talk more about that?
Sure. That's one of the first chapters of the book, and I think that's one of my favorite analogies, that our economy is still run on fossil fuels like coal and oil that are kind of these remains of long-dead organisms. And I think religion, in the same sense, is kind of a mental fossil fuel in that it's a remnant of something that existed a long time ago that we're still relying on to power our society today, despite the dangers it poses, which in the case of regular fossil fuels is pollution and climate change. In the case of religion, those fossil fuels in human minds produce fanaticism, fundamentalism, oppressive theocratic political movements, and all these other side effects that are harmful to us.
So we should move to alternative natural energy and get away from our dependence on the dead past. Then.
Yes, exactly. And just the same way as we should try to move away from fossil fuels to power our cars and our homes, we should move away from fossil fuels to power our ideas.
I also like in the book how, you know, you say, you know, a lot of us atheists say the Bible is a bad book. The Bible is not reliable. The Bible has some bad moral teachings in it. And you have an entire chapter which briefly but powerfully summarizes some of those really gross examples of the character of the supposedly loving deity of the Bible. You know, actions speak louder than words. They say God is love in five or six verses, as you point out. But just briefly delineate some of those examples.
Sure. Well, I think a lot of religious believers, for some reason, have never read the Bible themselves. And as a result, they have the impression that maybe it's a better book than it really is. And I think the verses that you tend to hear in churches about God being love and God being merciful are very, very much cherry-picked. If you read the Bible as a whole, the overall impression you get is that those verses are just islands in a sea of bloodshed and destruction, like even the Old Testament stories that everyone knows about God killing all the innocent firstborn children in Egypt, or God killing all the innocent children on the planet in the flood, or God asking Abraham to murder his own son as a test of his faith. I think, you know, these kind of horrible ideas that people might be sort of vaguely familiar with but don't really understand the full depth of how bad these stories are and how many of them there are.
Or that gays should actually be put to death, or if you you happen to do any work on the Sabbath, you should be stoned to death. Or
yes, or if your friend or your neighbor or your loved one converts to a different religion, the Bible says you must kill them. You must be the first to put them to death.
Yeah.
We are talking with Adam Lee, who is the blogger of Daylight Atheism. He has a new book out, Daylight Atheism. I'm Annie Laura-Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker.
And we're listening to Shostakovich because it's his birthday this week and he was a freethinker. We will be back in just a couple minutes to conclude our conversation with Adam Lee.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
We're back. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laura-Gaylor, and we have on the phone with us a lifetime member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation and a popular atheist blogger, Adam Lee, who wants to take atheism out of the shadow with his Daylight Atheism blog and now new book of the same title. And it's a response in part to the frequent claims of religionists that atheism is too negative, that we're tearing down people's faith without offering them anything in return. And Adam Lee has gotten endorsements on the cover from, on the back cover, Greta Christina, another blogger, another very popular blogger, Hemet Mehta, and Friendly Atheist. And so, Adam, the second half of your book, Daylight Atheism, deals a lot with this question of what do we replace religion with in terms of morality.
Yes, so the first half of the book is about reasons why you should be an atheist. And then the second half of the book, I guess, is reasons why it's good to be an atheist. And I write about the positive things you can get out of living a life without superstition that may not be as widely known among people who think that atheism is this depressing, cynical, nihilistic worldview without anything to hope for. And to respond to that, I have a whole chapter explaining why atheism actually does give us a sense of meaning and purpose in life and what it gives us to hope for and what it gives us to be happy about.
And you can sleep in on Sunday mornings, too.
That's a big one. Yeah. But I think even beyond that, it's just the sheer joy of being alive, of having this time and knowing that it's limited, but that we can accomplish so much with it. And just knowing even what we have accomplished so far, I think, is something for all human beings to take pride in. But I think we have the potential to accomplish so much more and to bring about a much better world than the one we have now, especially once we get some of these destructive, irrational beliefs out of the way.
I agree with you. I think that if life is eternal, then that means life is cheap because it just goes forever and ever. We give higher value to things that are limited. And since we atheists acknowledge the fact of our limited existence, that it is short, that it is rare, that it is precious, that makes it more valuable.
Absolutely. I mean, it definitely makes life the most valuable thing there is.
Now, what about the perennial question that is, or the perennial statement that we can't be good without God? We need religion to keep us in line. How can you be a good person if you're an atheist?
Well, I think the solution that religion offers to this question is kind of simplistic, in that it just says you should do what God says because otherwise he'll punish you. And I think that's a bad way to think about morality, because what it really leads to is people who have no independent thought, people who are just eager to do what they're told. And I think that's not likely to be good for human society. So I argue in the book that morality can and should be based on reason and on human conscience. That I think the highest value is happiness, because it's the only thing that's good in and of itself, and not because it brings us something else that we want. And then with that realization in hand, we can use reason to talk about, well, how can we attain the state of the most happiness for everyone? What trade-offs do we have to make? Whose interests do we need to take into account? And we can sort of go through a balancing process and come up with a solution that's just the best, rationally the best for everyone involved. And I think really this is a much more flexible and a more responsive moral system than religion, especially because if you have a new moral dilemma that's never come up before, you can say, okay, whose interests are at stake? How can I combine them? And then you can reason out what you should do. Whereas if your morality comes from reading a book, and then something comes up that's not in your book, well, what do? You have no answer.
Yeah, you're lost. You're looking for answers outside of your own reason.
Well, how can you consult the Old Testament Ten Commandments on these modern issues we're dealing with? What did Jesus say about global warming? Or what did he even say about a woman dealing with an unwanted pregnancy? Things like that.
Right, nothing.
Yeah. Well, I like how you summarize morality as sort of minimizing harm and maximizing happiness, which really is a much simpler principle, but in daily life on the road, it can be very complicated to figure it out, which is what you say, why we need reason and empirical evidence.
Right, absolutely. Yes, morality is often very complicated, and that's kind of the thing about morality. You can't reduce it to a list of 10 rules. You really have to argue it out. You have to build a community of people who are willing to think about these complicated issues and talk about them and figure them out on their own.
Now, your book is primary. I know that we have a hard copy of it. How can people get a hold of Daylight Atheism? And I know there's Kindle versions or online.
Yeah, so it's been released in paperback on Amazon and also most electronic formats on Kindle and some others. So you can go to Amazon.com or Smashwords.com. Search for Daylight Atheism. You'll find it.
By Adam Lee, so find it, either Google Daylight Atheism.
Now, you also, Adam, don't you also feature some works of other writers and bloggers at Daylight Atheism?
Yes, I've had a couple guest authors, including one who I think you're familiar with, Sarah Brosh.
Yes.
I think she's changing her name to Sarah Brosh Joy now. But yes, she's written guest posts for my site several times, so have a couple other people.
She used to work with us.
Sometimes mm-hmm. regular readers our, who she want was to submit something.
Sarah was our first legal intern. Remember her fondly.
I'm sure.
So this question comes up a lot when I speak, and maybe it comes up to you a lot. In fact, I spoke in Skokie, Illinois last Sunday, and the question they gave me was, why are you atheists so outspoken and so strident? What's your problem? How do you respond to that?
I think atheists are really no more outspoken than pretty much anyone who has a passion about anything, about sports, about politics. I think we just seem more strident because people have gotten the impression that religion is something that should not be questioned. And I think one of my commenters said it the best once, people are so used to whispering around religion that a voice at normal volume sounds like a shout.
Yes, it's such a taboo to even critique or question religion, much less criticize it. So, well, we welcome Daylight Atheism. We welcome your help to get us out of the shadows of ancient thought and religion, and hope that your book will be very successful, Amazon and all the online versions of it.
And I'm eager to help however I can.
Thank you for joining us today, Adam. We were talking with Adam Lee from New York City, a popular blogger, Daylight Atheism. He has a new book out by the same name.
The engineer and producer of our show is Dave McCann. The announcer for our show is Buzz Kemper. Free Thought Radio is recorded right here in Madison, Wisconsin. Now, you can listen to the show or you can...
iTunes.
Or you can listen to podcasts through iTunes. If you want to know any of that, go to ffrf.org/radio.
And those of you who are not already members of the Freedom From Religion Foundation will not be receiving your current issue of Free Thought today. The September issue is a little late because our publisher had a problem getting the paper from Canada. It's hot off the press and full of fascinating news, a lot more in-depth than we often are able to do on Free Thought Radio. We have a lead story about FFRF's Spotlight on Free Thought spot that is appearing now on public TV affiliates. We have a wrap-up on the so-called Second War of Northern Aggression, the Freedom From Religion Foundation's successes in ending religion in the public schools in the South. There are features on our members and activists and our interns.
And the long-lost photographs from Germany.
Yes.
Finally, we were in Germany in May, and my suitcase was lost.
With the camera.
Lufthansa Airlines. And so we had to submit a claims for it. And then 7 weeks later, the suitcase appeared on our front porch with a tag on it that said, Rush. But you'll see photographs from Germany. What are some of
the... At the end of May, well, Taslima Najran, who gave a very moving talk about the fatwas after her, we met a free-thinking German politician and jurist, and very fascinating Valentin Abgottspan, who's a Swiss teacher who's suing because he lost his job for complaining about a crucifix. So those long-lost photos are finally available. We hope you'll join us. And tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope someday.